Hi there, this is Rod Mullins, and you're listening to Appalachian Chain, the podcast. Appalachian Chain features the reflections of a native Appalachian, as well as discussion about issues pertaining to this region that I call home. This is episode one. What does Charlottesville have to do with NASCAR and Appalachia? Well, get ready. Let's find out, shall we? You know, when I'm not writing posts for the blog Appalachian Chained, I'm usually covering news and sports stories of interest as a freelance multimedia journalist. This past weekend, I was fortunate enough to cover the big extravaganza known as the night races at Bristol on Friday and Saturday nights. I'm there with my camera in hand, taking photos of the cars in action, photos of the drivers, and even recording videos of interviews, all to put together in some multimedia form for a client or a report about the events on my own. This past weekend, I was covering the race weekend for a good friend and his online publication in Waynesboro, Virginia. We met online years ago and finally got to meet face-to-face back in March of 2017. He gave me the opportunity to cover the events at Bristol Motor Speedway for his publication and also to give me the chance to get back into the swing of reporting. It's been a wonderful working experience, and along the journey, you meet a lot of different people. You get a chance to use your psychology skills and sociology skills that professors in college told you would come in handy one day. You know, the thing about how people never look at one another in an elevator sort of thing. Well, I was fortunate enough to get to meet several different people that I've only seen on television. One, the local morning anchor for the NBC station in the Bristol, Tennessee, Tri-Cities Market. Another, the new kid on the block, so to speak, a new budding reporter at that same NBC affiliate who loves NASCAR and has the potential to break out of this market to big things with her friendly demeanor and approach, and the local weatherman, who's an absolute joy to be around and always talks about something interesting, whether it's food, flying, the weather, or NASCAR. Well, you're probably saying, okay, that's typical, so you meet new people. Yes, but you also see people in a different light and with different objectives than others. Of the people sitting in the Bristol Motor Speedway Media Center from this past weekend, I would say a good 98 to 99% of the reporters and media people there were focused on covering the NASCAR race weekend. It was that 1 to 2% that had ulterior motives. And when I say ulterior motives, it wasn't reporting about the race or Kyle Busch's sweep of the weekend. It was reporting that really makes me, well, sick to my stomach. Proving once again that there are some media types out there that are looking for, quote-unquote, the big story, the attention that goes along with it, and caring less, really, who it affects or labels. Friday afternoon was all it took for me to know something was afoot in Thunder Valley. As I sat through a media press conference seeing NASCAR driver Ward Burton and his son Jeb talking to the media, I was impressed with what Ward Burton is doing with his life outside of racing. Burton's not only helping his son Jeb pursue his career in racing, but he heads up the Ward Burton Wildlife Foundation, and simply put, the foundation gives back to our natural resources. I found it interesting because Ward and the foundation are looking at partnering with organizations and expanding education efforts in schools. I thought to myself, well, you know, this would be great for my wife, who is a middle school teacher, and she loves science, the environment, the outdoors, and she is a self-professed rock hound who loves anything to do with rocks. And it was something for her to maybe find out more and see what she could use as maybe a teachable moment or teachable moments in her classroom. Then came a question from the media gathered that dropped like a lead weight in a hurricane. A reporter from the Boston Globe, yes, that Boston Globe, the Massachusetts-based newspaper, ask a question to Ward Burton that still has left me in shock. What are your thoughts on the events in Charlottesville, and do you feel Donald Trump, who you supported, responded properly? Well, in my world, you could have heard a pin drop in the middle of a rock and roll concert. It caught me by surprise, and by the look on Ward Burton's face, it took him by surprise also. But it didn't end there. A little while later, I was floored once again. If once wasn't enough, the same reporter, same subject and question to Monster Energy Cup driver Kyle Larson, and a similar result. My first question later was, why in the world is a reporter down here from Boston covering NASCAR? Now, my first question was, why in the world is a reporter down here from Boston covering NASCAR? Now, I know there's some operations that send reporters all over the country. Now, proof of that is looking in the media center with all of the different faces that you see. Now, some are familiar, being the local and regional media people, you know, while others, you've heard the name, but you never quite get a chance to put the face to the name until they say something in a question and answer session. It came back to me again. Why? I had a hunch, but I wanted to be sure before I went off half-cocked in my frustration and anger. So I talked to several friends about it on Saturday. Two of them by social media and private messenger and also by email. The other two in person prior to the Saturday night race. Now, we all agreed that this was something that was, well, out of the ordinary and something else was going on. In all of the conversations that we talked about, we felt strange about this whole thing. And I alluded to the word baiting, or using that term baiting, to describe what was going on. So for the better part of Sunday, I didn't think too much about it again until the retweet from one of my friends who had caught the article published online on the Boston Globe website. It was 12:30 in the morning, and this was on Monday. And I said to myself, well, I'll be, well, I'm going to let you fill in the blank of the four-letter word, which is, yes, a slang term for excrement. I read the article, and just as I thought, a slanted view of the NASCAR world from an outsider. But then the article opened up a lot more to me. In my own theory, the Boston Globe reporter came to Bristol to do some fishing at a NASCAR race. Now, you probably think that sounds silly. Well, she baited her hook, and while those drivers in the driver's circle, or those people, didn't respond or address matters like Charlottesville and Donald Trump directly, she did haul in some whopper interviews while baiting the fans that attended the race. From what I understand, 50 in all, or at least that was her number. But her little story fishing trip to a NASCAR race did more than just satisfy interview requirements for her story on NASCAR and bait several interviews in regard to the political climate and status of our country. Once again, this reporter lumped a few of her big catches in regard to interviews and revealed that once again, the big media boys and girls don't understand people in Appalachia. They view Appalachia through a cheap dollar store pair of sunglasses, looking down on the region, hiding the good, immediately finding what they feel is bad, labeling anyone and everyone from Appalachia as rednecks, hillbillies, uneducated, not politically in step with the rest of the country and the world, and yes, even profiling us with a J.D. Vance hillbilly elegy mentality. We're viewed in a lot of places in the country as the reason to blame for our country's present state. Hard to believe, but it's true. Some have even said that we're the reason for the person who's in the White House now. I didn't know that Appalachia controlled the Electoral College, but it seems like we're always getting the blame for something, whether we really did it or not. Sort of like the Charlottesville demonstrations. Now, don't think it didn't cross my mind that some way, somehow, someone would try and place the blame about the recent events there on some of us in Appalachia. With comments in the article from a man from Ohio who points out, quote, I'm not racist, end quote, to the stereotype of a Confederate flag flying in the breeze above race fans in an RV city, and yes, a Donald Trump flag also flying on that same flagpole with that Confederate flag, eating barbecue, drinking beer, it's a little too late. We're not just labeled. We've been branded. Branded like livestock. Like property, and that gives the media the right to portray us in any way they choose. Now, another common message conveyed through the piece was that these NASCAR fans were demanding a voice to be heard, something they felt that hasn't been allowed them in the past. Well, Catherine Moore recently wrote an article for the Columbia Journalism Review discussing the growing movement in Appalachia to change the perception of how the media views us by presenting Appalachia from its own perspective. For short, telling our story. She tells that after the 2016 election, the calls and emails rolled into West Virginia as the press started scrambling to make sense of a place that they hadn't occupied, or at least it hadn't occupied this much space on the national political stage since John F. Kennedy's trip to West Virginia back in the 1960 primary. And immediately, guess what? The stereotype started. We're here looking for a family in a trailer park. Can you show us one? Well, we're looking for a holler. Can you tell us how to get there? What does a holler look like? Well, I need a Trump-supporting son of a coal miner who doesn't think coal is coming back. Do you know one? I'd like to talk to him. Moore goes on in her article that, quote, Appalachia was treated as a kind of Rosetta Stone for deciphering rural white poverty in America. In its aftermath, media inquiries like these confirmed many residents' deep-seated fear that the national press only shows up when the news is bad, or to make them look like fools or freaks. Instead of inviting input on how to frame their stories, reporters seem to be looking for people to fit a frame that they already had in mind. Many of us in Appalachia are tired of the stereotypes. We're tired of the negative reporting when it comes to you, the media, and how you portray us. Whether it's a NASCAR race, the remote area medical event in Wise County every year, the endless barrage of Trump-related references of bringing coal back, bringing coal miners their jobs back, the opioid abuse epidemic, labeling us as white supremacists, racist, neo-Nazi, pro-Confederate flag supporters, whatever the freaking label, folks. Quite frankly, many of us are very sick and tired of it. We're nothing like what you think we are. You judge us from your previous perceptions, your preconceived notions that Appalachia is just slightly above the Amazon jungle, where instead of carrying spears, bows, and arrows, you think we carry Bibles, and we slap them a lot, shotguns, and a pickaxe to mine coal, and yes, we wave that Confederate flag up in the wind. Well, we've even invited you to Appalachia, or at least some people have. Up in West Virginia, they did. They invited the national media to come down and engage in a two-way conversation about who we in Appalachia really are and what we're trying to do, all while understanding their job and what they're trying to do through goals and their methods. We invited them to Appalachia to understand the concerns of local leaders, the issues that we as Appalachians face, and perhaps trying to help form some possible solutions. But guess what? You refused to come and participate. You said that there wasn't enough conflict or controversy. It wouldn't sell, according to Jake Lynch, who was the communications director for the nonprofit West Virginia Community Development Hub, as he found out from the national media. But there was enough conflict and controversy with issues like Trump, Charlottesville, racism, and all of this to come to Appalachia, go fishing, or rather baiting the fans and the people for a story to produce another slanted, biased view of Appalachia. Here we are. We've been reaching out to you for a long time, and we're reaching out to you right now to share the message of what Appalachia is really going through. We're looking for solutions here, folks, not handouts. We've been looking for someone to be the megaphone to our voice, to tell the world that Appalachia is not as terrible of a place as we've been portrayed. So if you won't come down, talk to us in all honesty and truth, we'll get the message out ourselves about how we look at you. Because to me, you're like the coal barons of the days of old, promising big things, big changes, and yet raping us of our greatest resource to profit from, and then you leave like it was just all a one-night stand. It's not a one-and-done deal here in Appalachia, folks. We need commitment in telling a story of our plight. I really have to give you city carpetbaggers credit there, dear old Boston Globe. You did a fine job of continuing the negative message of Appalachia all the way up into the northern part of the United States and New England. But I also look at it from a different perspective. Coming to Bristol, asking questions like that, baiting the fish you were looking for, you put your feet into a big cow pile. Well, instead of discovering it and then working to clean your feet off of it, you instead went and you stirred around in it and you stirred up the crap so much that, as the older crowd says here in Appalachia, the more you stir up crap, the more it stinks. So, to the Boston Globe and other national media who have trekked into the deep, dark jungles of Appalachia, looking to save us like missionaries on an expedition in the far-flung reaches of the Congo, or for that matter, the Amazon, who have come to this primitive land known as Appalachia to liberate us mountain folk, or tell the story to the outside world of how bad it is in Appalachia and how bad we are as people, I take this time to lift up my Styrofoam Bojangles Large Pepsi to you in a toast. The stink's on you. Our theme here on Appalachian Chained is called Feels Good, or I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by Martine DeBoer, under copyright 2014 and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 license through CC Mixter. Thank you for listening to our podcast, Appalachian Chained. Until the next time, so long, everyone.